Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The phrase "one another" occurs at least 59 times in the New Testament. 16 of those say, "love one another." So, how do we love one another? Let's examine some of the other "one another's" that give us clues on how to love one another in a practical way. First is humility. After the Last Supper, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Then he said, "If I washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." Philippians 2 says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to hang on to, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. The Son of God became the Son of Man, a baby born in a manger. Though he was Lord of all, he became servant to all. He was crucified between two thieves in a most humiliating execution. We are called to have this attitude in ourselves. Galatians 5:13 says, "You were called to freedom, brothers, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but to serve one another through love." Freedom is not doing whatever you want. It is serving others. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." Let someone else get the attention. Let someone else have the good seat. Let someone else go first. That is Christian love. That is loving one another. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Interestingly, this is the verse that immediately precedes the one that says wives submit to their husbands. The apostle says we should all submit to one another. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." I often wonder about prideful people who sit in church and sing "Amazing Grace" because the proud cannot receive grace. Next comes forgiveness. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Remember, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Colossians 3 says, "Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also." And Galatians 6 says, "If a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Bearing one another's burdens means restoring people and forgiving people. And this fulfills the law of Christ. In this context, bearing one another's burdens means, rather than judging and condemning one who has fallen, we are to kneel down and help them, pray for them, walk with them through their trouble. Sometimes it is good to remind yourself, but by the grace of God, there go I. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light means we are not hiding anything. We are exposed. This is essential to having fellowship with one another. James 5 says, the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The church could learn a lot from 12-step support groups where one is free to confess sin without being condemned by others. The others will walk that one through his struggles and work with him toward recovery. Encouragement should be a way of life for the Christian. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, encourage and edify one another. Romans 14 says, pursue the things which make for peace and edify one another. This word edify means to build up. We call a marvelous building an edifice. Edifying involves equipping and strengthening. One of the ways to do this is through instruction. Romans 15:14 says, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to teach one another. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Did you ever consider that we can learn by singing? I'll bet you learned the alphabet by singing it. And I'll bet you just sang it in your mind. One of the best ways to learn Scripture is by singing. Ephesians 5:19 says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. Corporate worship and song is essential to edifying the body. Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another every day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's kind of a spiritual version of make hay while the sun shines. We need to encourage each other every day while we have the opportunity. And Hebrews 10 says, let us consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day refers to the day the Lord returns. Paul says this about his version of the day. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We should comfort one another by reminding each other that this life is brief compared to eternity. Help is on the way. Jesus is coming. And finally, I cannot leave this one out. Romans 16, verse 16 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now I know there are vast cultural differences between first century disciples and, say, 21st century youth groups who snicker when they hear this verse. But in any culture, it is a good thing to greet one another affectionately. My wife comes from a family of huggers, and I love a church family that knows how to hug. So, if a holy kiss is uncomfortable for you, how about a holy hug? And all of this produces unity. Jesus said, "Be at peace with one another." Romans 12:16 says, "Be of the same mind toward one another." The NIV says, "Live in harmony with one another." And then verse 18 says, "If possible, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all people." I love the fact that Paul recognizes the reality that some folks just refuse to allow you peace. You are only responsible for your part, but you need to do your part as much as it depends on you. Then in chapter 15, he says it again, only this time with a little more qualification. "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant to you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus." First, he reminds us that God gives us what we need to do this. Then he adds the words, "according to Christ," or "according to his example." Then he continues, "Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us, for the glory of God." The example Jesus gave us was to accept us, whoever we are, as we are. And this leads to unity. This glorifies God. 1 Corinthians 12 says there should be no division in the body, but the parts should have the same care for one another. Ephesians 4 gives a recipe for unity. "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and meekness and patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So first, understand that we are responsible because of a calling on our life. Jesus initiated our walk. We love because he first loved us. Humility, meekness, patience, and forbearance. Humility is not self-effacement. It is seeing yourself as God sees you, someone in need of his grace. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength grown tender. It is surrendering your power, your ability, your rights to the Lord. Patience is sometimes translated long-suffering. I like to say it is having the kind of patience with others that we wish they had with us. Forbearance, or bearing with one another, means to hold each other up. One toothpick can't stand on end by itself, but if you bundle a handful together with a rubber band, they hold each other up, and that is forbearance. When blended together, humility, meekness, patience, and forbearance preserve peace and create unity. There are also warnings about how not to treat one another. In Romans, stop passing judgment on one another. In Colossians, do not lie to one another. In Galatians, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, you'll be destroyed by each other. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. James, do not slander one another. Do not grumble against each other. Notice that all of these warnings involve our words. So much damage is done to the body of Christ by our own words. How we treat one another is important, because we are members of one another. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4 each establish that we are the body of Christ and we are all members one of another. In Peter's first letter, he says, "To sum it up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, loving, compassionate, and humble. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one of you has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. Jesus told his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you." When we love one another, it brings the Lord joy. When we love one another, it honors the Lord. When we love one another, it glorifies the Lord. When we love one another, it proves to the world that we are His disciples. This is Jim Barrier on Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.